This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the Strong Method to build confidence before a toxic traits confrontation. 6 steps to walk into the hardest conversation without falling apart. In short, this article covers 5 frameworks from Say It Right Every Time that help you build real confidence before confronting toxic traits, so you enter the conversation grounded, prepared, and clear. The Strong Method, a 6-step pre-conversation ritual. The conversation pre-mortem, a tool to diffuse anticipatory anxiety. The confidence competence loop, a system for building courage through practice. Definition: a toxic traits confrontation is a deliberate conversation in which you directly address another person's harmful behavioral patterns, such as manipulation, chronic undermining, or persistent dismissiveness, with the goal of naming the pattern, explaining its impact, and establishing what needs to change. I once watched a capable manager spend 3 weeks composing herself before a confrontation with a colleague, whose behavior was corroding the entire team. When the moment finally came, she walked in without a plan. Within 4 minutes, she was off script, her voice was rising, and the conversation collapsed into mutual defensiveness. Nothing changed. The toxic traits confrontation she had dreaded for weeks ended up being a gift to the very person causing the damage. Good intentions are not enough. And Say It Right Every Time, I make the case that confidence is not a feeling you wait for before you act. It is the direct result of strategic preparation. This article teaches you the full preparation system from Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, 5 frameworks that, used together, give you the structure to walk into a conversation about toxic behavior without bluffing, freezing, or escalating. You will know what to say, how to begin, and what to do when it gets hard. Why toxic traits confrontations break down without structure. Confronting someone about toxic behavior is categorically different from a disagreement about a project deadline. The stakes feel personal. The other person has, in many cases, already demonstrated a willingness to manipulate, deflect, or retaliate. Your nervous system knows this. When the brain perceives a social threat, it triggers the same fight-or-flight response it uses for physical danger. This is the amygdala hijack. The rational language processing part of your brain gets bypassed, and you're suddenly running on instinct. Without a prepared structure to fall back on, instinct takes you one of two places. You either go harder than you intended, or you go soft and retreat. Neither produces change. Structure is not a crutch. It is what keeps you functional when pressure strips everything else away. When you have a real method, you do not have to invent words under fire. You have already thought through what you want to say, what you need from the conversation, and what you will do if things go sideways. That preparation is where confidence actually lies. Framework 1. The Strong Method. What it is: a 6-step pre-conversation ritual that prepares your mind, your body, and your words before you address toxic behavior. This is the primary framework I introduce in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. What it is designed for: any situation where you need to confront a pattern of harmful behavior, not a single incident, and where you expect resistance, deflection, or emotional heat. How it works. Number 1. S. State your intention. Before the conversation, write one clear sentence describing what you want to accomplish. Not "I want him to stop being toxic." Something specific. "I want to address the pattern of dismissing team input in meetings and agree on a different approach." Clarity of intention is the anchor that keeps you from drifting when the conversation gets hard. Number 2. T. Take a breath. This is literal, not figurative. A slow, deliberate breath before you speak activates your parasympathetic nervous system and dials down the physical symptoms of anxiety. Do this in the moment before you open your mouth, and again anytime you feel yourself accelerating. Number 3. R. Respect all perspectives. This does not mean agreeing with toxic behavior. It means entering with a genuine belief that the conversation can go somewhere useful. People with toxic traits are skilled at detecting contempt. If you walk in with the verdict already written, they will feel it and shut down. Enter with the question, not the conclusion. Number 4. O. Offer specific examples. Vague complaints give toxic behavior room to breathe. "You undermine me" can be denied. In Tuesday's meeting, when I presented the budget figures, you interrupted twice and told the group I had the numbers wrong before checking them. Cannot. Prepare 2 or 3 specific, observable incidents before you walk in. Number 5. N. Navigate to solutions. The conversation must move toward something. Naming the problem without a direction leaves both parties stuck. Before you go in, prepare a clear statement of what you need going forward. I need you to let me finish before responding is actionable. I need you to be better is not. Number 6. G. Gain commitment to action. End with a concrete ask. Not a hope, not a vague agreement to do better. A specific, observable change. Can we agree that in this week's meeting you will let each person finish before responding? That is something you can both measure. When to use it. Any planned conversation about toxic behavior, where you have time to prepare in advance. When not to use it. In the moment of a sudden flare-up. If toxic behavior erupts unexpectedly, use the breath step and defer. I want to respond to this properly. Can we set time to talk this afternoon? Then prepare. Quick example. A colleague has been taking credit for your ideas in senior meetings. You prepare your strong steps the night before. Your intention is to name the pattern and agree on attribution going forward. You prepare two specific examples. You decide the solution you are asking for. You walk in calm, clear, and ready. Eamon's note. The strong method works because it converts anxiety into action before the conversation begins. You are not less nervous. You are more prepared. Those are different things entirely. Framework 2. The confidence competence loop. What it is? A self-reinforcing cycle in which practice builds competence, small successes build confidence, and that confidence drives further practice. I describe this loop in detail and say it right every time because understanding it changes how people approach preparation. What it is designed for? Building the courage to confront toxic behavior repeatedly, not just once. Many people summon the strength for one confrontation and then retreat when it does not immediately fix everything. The loop explains why the retreat is the wrong move, how it works. Number 1. Start small. Do not begin your practice by confronting the most destructive person in your life. Start with a low-stakes boundary, a colleague who interrupts you, a teammate who takes too long to respond. Speak up. Use a prepared sentence. Number 2. Notice the result. You will not always get the outcome you wanted, but you will survive the conversation. That survival is the first piece of competence. Number 3. Let the small win build confidence. Confidence is not a magical feeling. It is the accumulated memory of having done the hard thing and come through it. Each confrontation you complete, however imperfect, adds to that memory. Number 4. Apply the confidence to the next, harder situation. The loop builds on itself. After 3 or 4 smaller confrontations, approaching the person with genuinely toxic traits feels possible in a way it did not before. When to use it? As a long-term preparation strategy, particularly if you are someone who has historically avoided all confrontation with toxic behavior. When not to use it? As an excuse to delay the confrontation you are avoiding. The loop requires that you actually take the small steps. If you are using a need to build up to it as a permanent shelter, you are not using the loop. You are hiding in it. Quick example. A junior team member starts by addressing a peer who consistently ignores her input in planning documents. She sends a direct message. The peer responds positively. 2 weeks later, she uses that experience as a foundation to address a more senior colleague whose behavior is actively dismissive in front of clients. Eamon's note. I spent years waiting to feel ready before difficult conversations. The loop taught me that ready is not a feeling. It is a record. Framework 3. The conversation pre-mortem. What it is? A pre-conversation anxiety reduction exercise in which you identify your worst fears about the confrontation, assess how likely each actually is, and create a specific plan for handling each one. What it is designed for? Diffusing anticipatory anxiety, the particular dread that builds in the hours or days before a toxic trait confrontation. Anticipatory anxiety is almost always worse than the conversation itself. The pre-mortem closes that gap. How it works. Number 1. List your worst case scenarios. Write them down. She will deny everything and turn it on me. He will go straight to HR. The whole team will hear about this. Do not filter. Get them out of your head and onto paper. Number 2. Assess the realistic likelihood of each. Not is this possible, but based on what I actually know about this person and this situation, how likely is this? Most worst cases, when examined plainly, are not probable. Number 3. Prepare a specific response for each scenario. If she denies it, I have the dates and the specific words. I am not here to argue about whether it happened. I am here to agree on what happens next. If he goes to HR, I welcome that. I'm happy to have this conversation in any setting. Preparation removes the shock when to use it. The night before a morning of a planned confrontation with someone displaying toxic traits, when not to use it. As a replacement for the conversation, some people pre-mortem indefinitely and never speak. The exercise is preparation, not a destination. Quick example. Before confronting a manager who has been publicly belittling her work, an employee lists her fears, realizes the most likely outcome is defensiveness rather than retaliation, and prepares 3 calm responses to deflection. She walks in with her anxiety reduced by half. Eamon's note. The fears that live in your head are always larger than the ones you can write on paper. Write them down. They shrink. For more on how leaders can structure these preparation steps into team settings, this guide on the Strong Method and Synergy is worth your time. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Framework 4. The 3-Step Mistake Recovery Process. What it is? A short, reliable process for recovering from fumbled words, missteps, or emotional slips during a toxic traits confrontation. The 3 steps are acknowledge, correct, and move on. What it is designed for? Keeping you functional when the conversation goes off script. Toxic behavior often provokes us into saying something too sharp, too vague, or simply wrong. Without a recovery method, one misstep can derail the entire confrontation. How it works. Number 1. Acknowledge. Name what just happened, plainly. I do not think that came out right. Or, I said that more strongly than I meant to. You do not need to grovel. A simple acknowledgement stops the moment from calcifying into a bigger problem. Number 2. Correct. Say what you actually meant. What I mean is that when you redirect questions to yourself in client meetings, it puts me in a difficult position with the client. That is the specific thing I need to address. Number 3. Move on. Do not circle back to the misstep repeatedly. Once you have corrected, continue. Returning to it repeatedly signals insecurity and gives the other person something to anchor their defensiveness to. When to use it. Anytime you fumble during a confrontation about toxic behavior. This includes losing your composure, choosing the wrong words, or accidentally escalating. When not to use it. As an excuse for careless preparation. The 3-step recovery is a safety net, not a strategy. If you are relying on it more than once in the same conversation, revisit your preparation. Quick example. Mid-confrontation, a team lead says, you always make the team feel worthless, and immediately sees the other person shut down. She pauses. I do not think that came out right. What I mean is that the feedback you gave in last Thursday's debrief was delivered in a way that left 3 people visibly distressed. That is the behavior I want to discuss. The conversation reopens. Eamon's note. Your ability to recover from a mistake with confidence is often more impressive than not making one. The person who stumbles and finds their footing earns trust that the person who never stumbles never needs to earn. If your confrontation does go off the rails entirely, the recover method for when a team conversation goes wrong gives you a full rescue framework for those moments. Framework 5. The Clarity Checklist. What it is? A preparation tool that helps you define your core message, your intention, and your desired outcome before you sit down to address toxic behavior. It is referenced throughout Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time as the foundation beneath every other framework. What it is designed for? Ensuring that you enter the confrontation knowing exactly what you want to say and what you want to happen. Toxic behavior thrives in vagueness. The clarity checklist eliminates it. How it works. Number 1. Define your core message in one sentence. If you cannot say it in one sentence, you're not clear enough yet. I need to address the pattern of withholding information from me before team meetings. Number 2. State your intention. Are you here to repair the relationship, to set a boundary, or to issue a final warning? Know which, and be honest about it. Your intention shapes every word you choose. Number 3. Name your desired outcome. What does success look like at the end of this conversation? We agree on a specific protocol for sharing project updates before meetings. Concrete, measurable, real. Number 4. Prepare your specific examples. List the incidents you will reference dates, words used, actions taken. 2 or 3 strong examples are more powerful than a dozen vague ones. Number 5. Anticipate deflection. Toxic behavior often includes denial, blame shifting, and counter-accusations. Decide in advance how you will respond to each without losing your thread. When to use it. As the first step in preparing for any confrontation involving a repeated toxic pattern, when not to use it. As a substitute for the conversation. Preparation without action is just anxiety with better organization. Quick example. Before confronting a team member whose passive-aggressive commentary has been silently corroding the group's trust, a manager runs through the clarity checklist. Core message: the pattern of sarcastic remarks in team chats is affecting collaboration. Intention: to stop the behavior and restore trust. Outcome: a clear agreement on how feedback is delivered going forward. Two specific examples prepared. Three likely deflections anticipated. The manager walks in clear and grounded. Eamon's note. This much I know for certain: the people who struggle most in confrontations are not the ones with the wrong words. They're the ones who were never clear about what they actually needed to say. For those dealing with passive-aggressive behaviour specifically, this piece on addressing it without escalation is directly relevant. Choosing the right framework for the situation. Not every toxic traits confrontation needs all five frameworks. Here's a quick guide to matching the tool to the moment. Situation: primary framework, support framework. Planned confrontation with a manipulative colleague, strong method, clarity checklist. You have avoided this conversation for weeks. Confidence competence loop conversation pre-mortem. You're dreading a specific worst case outcome. Conversation pre-mortem strong method. The conversation went wrong and needs recovery. Three-step mistake recovery strong method. You are unclear on what you want to say. Clarity check the strong method. The strong method is your spine. Build everything else around it. If you only have time to use one framework before walking into a confrontation, use strong. The others are precision tools for specific conditions. If you are addressing a pattern that is fracturing your team beyond the individual relationship, the deal method for resolving conflict that fracture team synergy gives you a structured next step once the initial confrontation is done. For individual team members preparing for their own version of this conversation, how the strong method prepares individuals for synergy critical conversations covers the personal preparation side in more depth. Mistakes that undermine even well-prepared confrontations. Preparation helps, but preparation applied badly still fails. These are the errors I have seen most often. The mistake: preparing what to say, but not preparing for pushback. Why it happens: we rehearse our opening and assume the other person will receive it cleanly. What to do instead? Use the conversation pre-mortem to specifically rehearse your response to denial, counter-accusation, and deflection. Toxic behavior does not go quietly. The mistake: using vague language because specifics feel aggressive. Why it happens? We soften the message to reduce conflict, but vagueness gives toxic behavior room to deny and survive. What to do instead? Prepare specific behavioral examples using the clarity checklist. You undermine me cannot be addressed. On March 4th, you told the group my figures were wrong before you'd seen them. Can. The mistake: ending the conversation without a concrete commitment. Why it happens? The confrontation itself feels like enough of an accomplishment. What to do instead? Alt the G in strong: do not leave without a specific, observable agreement. Vague endings allow toxic patterns to resume within days. A mistake: treating one fumbled conversation as proof the method does not work. Why it happens? We expect a single confrontation to resolve a long-standing toxic pattern. What to do instead? Apply the three-step mistake recovery and reframe the expectation. Most toxic behaviors took months to establish. One conversation plants the flag. Change takes more than that. For scripts that give you word-for-word language when addressing team members whose behavior is undermining the group, those resources fill the gap between having a framework and knowing exactly what to say. Building fluency with these frameworks over time. The frameworks in this article are not complicated. They are also not mastered in a week. Here is a realistic plan for building genuine fluency. In the first 2 weeks, use the clarity checklist before every difficult conversation, not just the big ones. Train the habit of defining your intention and desired outcome before you speak. Conversations about missed deadlines, unclear expectations, and small frustrations all count. In weeks 3 and 4, practice the conversation pre-mortem before any conversation you're dreading. Write the fears down. Assess them. Prepare the responses. Notice how much lighter you feel walking in. From month 2 onward, a apply the full straw method to every planned confrontation about a behavioral pattern, the six steps will begin to feel automatic rather than effortful. That is a confidence competence loop doing exactly what it is meant to do. Use the three-step mistake recovery every time you stumble, in any conversation, anywhere. Practice makes the recovery fast and natural, so that when you need it in a toxic traits confrontation, it is already a reflex. If you are working within a team context, how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy gives you the opening move skill to complement the preparation work you are building here. What to carry away from this? Confidence before a toxic traits confrontation does not come from being naturally fearless. It never did. It comes from preparing so specifically and so honestly that the conversation you dread begins to feel like a problem you have already half solved. That is what these frameworks do. They do not remove the difficulty. They replace the chaos with structure, and structure is where courage finds its footing. Pick one framework from this article and use it before your next difficult conversation. Not all five. 1. Build from there. The confidence competence loop will take it from that point. And when you're ready to go deeper into the full preparation system behind every framework covered here, Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time lays it all out in full. A toxic traits confrontation will always be hard. With the right method in your hands, it no longer has to be something you avoid. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits confrontation? A toxic traits confrontation is a direct conversation where you name and address harmful behavioral patterns in another person, such as manipulation, chronic dismissiveness, or sabotage. It differs from a general conflict because the behavior is a repeated pattern, not a one-off disagreement. How does the strong method help with toxic traits confrontation? The strong method gives you a six-step pre-conversation ritual that builds confidence before you speak. It covers setting your intention, regulating your nerves, preparing specific examples, and planning for solutions, so you enter the conversation grounded rather than reactive. Why do most toxic traits confrontations go wrong? Most go wrong because the person confronting enters without preparation, speaks in vague generalities, or lets their own anxiety push them into aggression or retreat. Without a clear method, pressure strips away good intentions and replaces them with the worst instincts. What should you say when confronting someone with toxic behavior? Name the specific behavior, not a character judgment. Describe what you observed, explain its impact, and state what you need going forward. Avoid labels like toxic or difficult. Use precise language what happened, when it happened, and how it affected the team or relationship. How do you stay calm during a toxic traits confrontation? Prepare with the conversation pre-mortem before you speak. Identify your worst fears, assess how likely each is, and plan a response. Pair this with a deliberate breath and a grounded physical posture. Anticipating the hard moments reduces the shock of them in real time. Can you confront toxic behavior without damaging the relationship? Yes, if you separate the behavior from the person and enter with a genuine intention to resolve rather than punish. Frame the conversation around what needs to change and what a better outcome looks like. The relationship may survive and even improve when the pattern is finally named. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.